following is tape 4 of an interview with Dr. Archie Pittman. The date is November 9th, 1983. The interview is being conducted by Linda Dodds. Well, you were saying, Dr. Pittman, about the advantages of the plans that were offered by OPS. Were these group or individual plans, by the way, that people were taking advantage of? Or a mixture, or...
Well, mostly groups. That there was some individuals. If a person had been in the group and was covered, they could continue as individuals. And then later on, they began to even signing up individuals, too. But they needed employed people to, the employer had to forward the monthly dues into the companies, because it's a little harder to collect from individuals. But even today, and especially today, with the greatly increased hospital rates, it'd be impossible for people to get hospital service at these high rates. I think we're $400 and $500 a day, you know, okay, without some type of insurance. Now, of course, in the meantime, we've had Medicare has come in, Medicare and Medicaid, and that picks up a lot of the bill, and then a good many people have private insurance to cover the rest of a large part of the bill anyway. So that even with these very high hospital rates, people can still afford to get hospital care, which is really amazing, because they are high.
Mm-hmm. They are terribly high. Were the physicians then also anxious to get the insurance, patients with insurance plans as well?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was a guaranteed payment to them for a certain amount, too.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. How did they view the added paperwork that was involved with the insurance coverage?
Well, that's just part of the cost, overhead cost, is that paperwork. There is some. It's one of my complaints today is that some doctors won't help their patients with the paperwork at all. They have to make out their own forms. Other doctors that have girls especially trained to make out the forms, like for Medicare, Medicaid, that sort of thing. And it's difficult for patients to make out some of these forms. They're not used to it. Mm-hmm. So a good many doctor's offices provide this service to the patient without any extra cost.
Well, I had a couple of questions that I wanted to ask you about things that we talked about earlier. So, would you mind if I sort of switch gears on you?
Yeah, that's all right.
Did you have anything else you wanted to mention
about
this?
No, I've covered that.
Okay. These are just questions that I had. When I was reading the newspaper the other day in the Argus, I saw that the county hospital opened in 1923, which was, let's see, you came in 1930, wasn't it, to Hillsboro? 1931, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
so
sure.
The hospital was fairly new when you arrived. I was wondering if you could maybe describe what that hospital was like. That building is still in use, although not as a hospital. But could you give me kind of an explanation of what went on inside?
Yeah, it was a small operating hospital, and they had a surgery there in a delivery room, and
two different rooms, a surgery and a delivery.
Yes.
Okay.
And they had a counter doctor then, who did the deliveries, and some of the minor surgery, or some of the surgery. And then we used to go out and work at the county hospital in some cases. We follow our patients out there and work on Madison County patients. Used to do tonsillectomies and that sort of thing, and occasional appendectomy. They didn't have a great volume of work, but there were some. And then eventually, well, they kind of began using the services of private hospitals. And other plans came into effect, like Medicare provides for much of the cost of medical and hospital care. And so the county hospitals gradually ceased to function because of the government taking over much of the cost of the indigent care. And matter of fact, some of the teaching hospitals are having difficulty in getting up patients, free patients for their residents and interns to for teaching purposes, you know.
Well, did people sort of frown on going to the county hospital? Would they prefer, if they had their choice, would they prefer not to go to the county hospital
that
time?
They prefer the regular hospital, of course.
Was it any more comfortable than the county hospital, or did the facilities compare?
Well, there was a sort of a second-class hospital in facilities and equipment and all that sort of thing, but the nursing service and medical service was good. But the people didn't have a free choice. The county doctor took care of them, whether they liked him or not. Uh-huh. So.
How many patients were there? How many beds? Do you have any idea?
Oh, there must have been 15 or 20 beds. There are two floors of beds.
Well, my other question is very general, and I don't have any questions prepared on this topic, but maybe you can think of some things. I'm just wondering about general Hillsborough history, things that are memorable in this area. Important to our history, events. You were working right downtown, fairly close to downtown, and had an opportunity to be right in the middle of things. And you probably, well, you were well placed with your community service functions and things like that you did. Is there anything about Hillsborough history that you'd like to talk about?
Well, it's the gradual changes, of course, and for the better. When I first started practicing there, the rock roads were only extended for a short ways out from town, and then you got into dirt roads again. Mm-hmm. And so it was. And of course, the worse the roads are, the more home calls you have to make. Uh-huh. But the more difficult it is for patients to get into the hospital or office. And so it was a problem in those first few years. For instance, I used to have to go up on Pumpkin Ridge to deliver babies up there, and there's only rocks part way up the hill. And then it's either just mud holes or planks. They did some planking in the worst places, putting two planks side by side for each wheel, and then cross pieces to make a sort of a plank road through the worst mud places. And I remember one time I was going up there, and I slid off of the planks. I was bogged down in the mud. And neighbors came out and they helped me get my car back up onto the planks again so I could get on up the hill. And then there was a friend of mine who lived at the cliff, almost the top of the hill. He had an orchard up there. And he had a star car. And that was a high-wheeled car. And he would come down and meet me at the Greens Hall, which was the end of the Rock Road, and haul me up the hill in his car. And he did that several times, just as a service to his neighbors, to come down and haul the doctor up the hill. So that happened several times. And I've had people come down and meet me with a horse and buggy or something like that. Come down off a hill, or it was impossible to go up with a car. Mm-hmm. And one time in the snow, I had a fellow come down with a team of horses on a wagon that had runners put on it, you know, could bring it in a sleigh. And he came down and got me and hauled me back up the hill. My wife went with me that time too. She enjoyed the trip very much, and she used to occasionally go out with me on calls at night. And so she got to ride up there and then through the snow behind this team of horses. It must have been about 3 or 4 miles up the hill. A child had, I think, it was scarlet fever or some childhood disease. Quite sick with it, and so I had to make just the one call and get enough medicine to take it through.
What did Mrs. Pittman do when she went along?
Well, sometimes she would go out with me when I delivered babies and give the anesthetic.
Oh,
yeah.
Now that's interesting.
Yes.
What kind of anesthetic did
ether.
She give?
Oh. Yeah, there's one kind of ether. Later on, we had ether and oil, but give it by rectum. That was another. It was a little bit irritating, but it worked pretty good. But very often, we'd have a neighbor or somebody used a drop ether. You couldn't give anybody too much. It's hard, you know, had to give them enough to get them. Ease the pain, just dropping ether on the mask. And I am one time up on David Hill, up there delivering a baby, and your girl's mother was with her, and she didn't speak English, but I'd show her how to dropping ether on the mask, you know, and I'd motion to her to drop some more ether, you know, and need it. And it's just by sign language we conducted the delivery. Those are conditions we worked under in those days.
Mm-hmm. What about, this is just a random thought I had, there was a lot of industry here. Well, you were talking to me the other day about the canning industry, and then you mentioned the mills in Forest Grove and all that. Were there many industrial accidents that occurred?
Oh yes, in logging. Logging, there were quite a few accidents, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not many accidents on the cannery. Occasionally, there's one I had, one for a lost part of his foot in a corn chopper.
Did those people come to you or did you go to them?
It doesn't come to me, it comes to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it felt lost part of his foot, but it's right across here. I did an amputation at the joint level back here, but it had enough skin to cover it. And he had a pretty balanced foot after that. It was a short foot, but he got along pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a question here I have to ask you. Were you ever interested in politics?
No. Just so-called medical politics, mm-hmm. Organized medicine, they call that medical politics,
mm-hmm.
but not in politics per se. No, I was approached one time, not too many years ago, to see if I would run for county commissioner. I refused. At that time, especially, well, we still do have more or less trouble in our county commissioner. They don't always agree about things. We have trouble raising up money in the county here to do things. And it's the one job I wouldn't want.
Uh-huh.
It would be a county commissioner. So I refuse to run. But no, it's some doctors have gone in the legislature at. I've never been interested in that. I wouldn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes too much time out of your practice. The session maybe lasts 3 months or more, you know, and
mm-hmm.
You have to be gone away from your office a lot of the time. And I got other doctors in with me in the group, I wouldn't want to be going that much of the time.
Well, it sounds to me like you have very much enjoyed your career as a doctor in Hillsborough.
I have. It's been a very rewarding type of practice, and a good many friends that I don't get to see them very much now, but I hear of them and from them once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And meet them in the grocery store sometimes, and,
uh-huh.
And my office nurse, my office girl, that was with me for 30 years, she first contact with her was she came out here. She worked here at the house, and. She lived out across from some friends of ours, Spring Hill near Gaston, on a farm, and she needed to finish high school, and she needed to get work in town here someplace. So my wife took her in here. She would work out here, in the outside of school hours, and then she could go back and forth on the bus. Did the high school, and from there, even during that time, even she began to work in my office a little bit in the afternoon, after school sometimes as a receptionist and bookkeeper. She was my first office help. And I'd been doing it myself pretty much before that, and keeping books with file cards in a little pile that I had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a very onerous task. I didn't have too many patients, and not much correspondence to do. But then she began working for me shortly after we moved out here, and. Working first in the house and then the office, and then she finished up her high school, and then she stayed on and worked at the office for me. And was with me until, Well, she worked for the group, not for me personally, but organizing a group. There were at one time five of us in the Hillsborough Clinic. Mm-hmm. We put our own building across from the hospital there, and she worked there. She worked for me in there. In the other office on Third Street, where first office was built, on Third Street, we had a sort of a pool of nurses. They would whoever was available, you'd call the desk and ask for a patient to be sent in. Somebody would bring him in, whoever was available. But Elizabeth was working there too, working more or less indirectly for me, not exclusively. Exclusively. But and then we moved in our new building down across from the hospital. Then she was back in my suite of offices. She was my personal nurse back there.
And what was her name, Elizabeth?
Elizabeth Ott was her name.
O-T-T? Ott?
Ott, yeah. Her name is Darud now, D-Y-R-U-D.
Okay. Well, it's always good to have a reliable assistant.
Yeah, she got to know my patients. Her whole life centered around that job, and now she meeting these people on the street all the time, you know, in the stores and places, and she's always telling me about who she saw, you know, who she met, mm-hmm. So the old patients that she runs across, and it was a boon to her to she was kind of a timid girl. She, you know, had a trouble getting used to meeting people very much, and she soon got over that in the office, you know, and she got acquainted with a tremendous number of people, and made good many friends.
Well,
and she and her husband still, now they're coming, they haul me around.
Oh,
they take me. They take me one of my trips to Portland, one a week. They take me down to St. Vincent's for my treatments, you know.
Oh,
and some other members of the family take me the other times.
Well, Dr. Pittman, I was just thinking, you must have delivered an awful lot of babies.
I don't know how many. I never kept track of them, and I've lost the early records. And the hospitals, they've been lost there too, in the old hospital. I just don't know how many. At first, we had a made out our own birth certificates, mm-hmm. and I have those while we're doing that. And then after I began to bring them to the hospital for delivery, then those records were in the hospital, and they have been lost. I don't know where. The old Jones Hospital, something happened to those records. I've never been able to get a hold of them and find out the count of seizures, how many babies I delivered, but quite a few.
I bet it would be.
I had delivered four in one day once. That was kind of a busy day.
I bet it was.
One of them was up on the highway, or up on the hilltop, and it had two or three, and one in the country, and two of them in town. But
well, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I can take pride in our hospital. It's been a very successful hospital. During this recession, some of the Portland hospitals have been in trouble. They've had a low occupancy, and they've been in financial trouble. But we haven't. We have grown consistently since we've been here. And as I said, one of the most important things that I ever did on the board of the hospital was to hire this administrator we have now. He is very capable, and he's in his sixth year now, I think, with the hospital. And a chart of the progress of the hospital is like stair steps going up, you know. Mm-hmm. But each year it is increased the volume of work and the services rendered to the people and the people using the hospital. And the staff is increased. There are, must be around 100 doctors on the staff now. Doctors like it, people like it, the community likes it. We set a goal when we planned this hospital. It's not going to be a big hospital. Some people wanted to get an acreage out of town, away in a big area where we could build a big hospital for the future. But we said we wanted this to be a community hospital where people would feel at home, be a member of the community, where they would know a lot of the personnel in the hospital, and they wouldn't be strangers. It would just be a number on a chart. And that's the way people feel about hospitals of this size. They feel like they belong to the community, and they know people there. Mm-hmm. And the visitors coming in, know people there, and it makes a nice hospital family. And so the foundation, we've reached now six stories in the tower. That's as high as we can go. We built foundations that support six stories, so we can't go higher. And we only have a block where we've added land around it for parking and so forth. And we utilize that block pretty well. Outpatient facilities, lab and x-ray and that sort of thing has increased in volume tremendously too, and compared to the number of inpatients, so that the services to the community keep increasing all the time, and not only just from the patients put to bed, but patients taken care of in the outpatient department, by the lab and x-ray, physiotherapy and all those things. But we have special departments now, and respiratory things, and various types of diagnostic things, electrocardiograph, ultrasound, and various things. Fairly sophisticated x-ray equipment, and we're leasing a scan, a mobile scan unit. We and two other hospitals are sharing one. That's a very expensive equipment. Augments x-ray computer augmented x-ray, you know. Mm-hmm. Telemetry, and Now there's something a little bit better coming out. So we're glad we didn't buy one, but we couldn't afford it anyway. But the technical advances are tremendous. But we don't do open heart surgery. It's when we do organ neurological surgery, brain surgery, that sort of thing, but not open heart surgery. That takes special teams, specially trained teams, doctors and nurses, to do that. And we just don't look forward to doing that. We'll let St. Vincent's do that. Mm-hmm. They have one of our local boys is you've heard of Jim Wood. Mm-hmm. He went in with the Star, and now I think there are four or five of them working in St. Vincent's. Mm-hmm. I see him once in a while now when I go down for my treatments. He's the officer right there in St. Vincent's Hospital.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd like to thank you for this time. It's been very informative.
Well, I've kind of enjoyed kind of going back in the history of it too, and I've covered the main points now.
Yes.
There's some little things. There was some notes I had too. Did I mention I was a member of the Portland Power Squadron?
No, you didn't mention that.
Oh, I didn't get into boating at all, did I?
No, you didn't get into boating. Well, maybe we should talk about boating.
Well, yes. Not sure when it was. But
before we start, though, I think I'll turn this tape over, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of my hobbies, an important one for a time, certainly, was boating. Neil Bush got me interested in boating. He had a boat in the boathouse on the George's Marina. And I'd go out with him once in a while. I finally got a chance to pick up a boat, a second-hand boat that was in pretty good condition, and a 23-foot trolley craft with two outboard motors. And I run that for a while up and down the river, and I used to go down to Astoria and go out deep sea fishing, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you always have to step up to a bigger boat. And so I got one, a 25-foot trolley craft, mm-hmm. with an inboard outdrive motor, with plenty of horsepower. I ran that a few years, and take excursions up and down the river, and leave it at Astoria for a while, and go fishing out in the ocean, and enjoy the trips up and down the river, that sort of thing, and just taking little short trips on weekends, Sunday or sometime, and take a couple out for a little run, even just to come up into Portland Harbor and come up and see the all the fishing activities in the harbor. See, I was moored down on the slough. Well, just go over Cornelius Pass Road here and right down to this, whatever they call it, Multnomah Channel now. We always used to call it the slough. Mm-hmm. And had a marina there. And it was just a few minutes run from here to down to the boat. And then we could go down the slough or into the Willamette, out to the Columbia, or up the Willamette to Portland. So it's a kind of a central place down there. You go any direction, you know. Mm-hmm. And you go fishing in the Willamette or the Columbia or the slough. And it was nice to have it so available. But I finally gave up boating entirely and sold my boat. And I had a boathouse down there. Oh. And in that time, I joined the Portland Power Squadron to become a safe boater. And so I took advanced courses in that. I took electronics and piloting and seamanship and advanced piloting. Mm-hmm. I became an advanced pilot, and I did a little teaching at Hillsborough for a couple of winters, teaching piloting and seamanship. And that was a very interesting hobby, was boating.
Well, anything else you'd like to add?
I told you about our riding, that we had 5 horses here one time.
Yes, I hadn't realized that.
Went from golf to riding, and never went back to golf again. I don't know, always something else to do. And the children outgrow the horses after a while, and then they go from horses to cars.
Well, I guess I should have asked you this, but what was Mrs. Pittman doing while you were keeping so busy?
She was studying art. Did you ever see her? You didn't see her collection upstairs.
No,
I show her that.
I'd like to.
We have a collection of Sidney Bell's work. She studied under Sidney Bell for all these years, I guess. That I was doing all these other things. She would take the children into school for the music lessons, and then she'd take an art lesson from Sidney Bell.
At the art museum?
No, he had his own.
A private studio.
Private studios. Mm-hmm. One of the downtown Portland buildings, I don't remember which one it was now. It was
mm-hmm.
I've been there a number of times too. But no, he had his own studio. Mm-hmm. He was a professional portrait painter. Well, he did these two. These are charcoals here. Ellen and I here, you see.
Oh, I see.
And he did the one there, and the one of Nancy and one Ellen in there.
Uh-huh.
And he's got others, and we have a whole collection of Sidney Bell. They, when he died, he divided his collection between his two daughters. One of them had first choice, and she took a good many still lifes, and left a number of portraits and things for the other one, but. Eventually, the other one, they moved to California, and they put their part of the collection in storage, and the storage bill kept running up, you know, and they just didn't feel like they could afford to pay it and move them all down to California, so they decided to. They would sell a collection, so we bought it from them. We knew them very well. And so we have the collection upstairs, you know.
Uh-huh.
Many of Sidney Bell's works. And, Ellen painted this one when she's a student of Sidney Bell's, the cattail one. That's the one that hung in her office for quite a while.
Oh.
They left the office and brought it home with me.
Oh.
But,
I noticed that. Very attractive.
Two of her best works, I think, are hanging on just the opposite wall in here. There's an old couple. old Mrs. Losley and a fellow named old Mr. Mills. She used a dark background, one of the famous old artists used. I can't think of his name now. I think it was Flemish. But they stand out, gray-haired people, you know, mm-hmm. and against the dark background, they really stand out. Mm-hmm. And those are, well, one grandson of old Mrs. Losley wanted to buy that picture from Ellen, but she didn't want to sell it, but Sidney Bell had done one, and so she directed him to go to Sidney Bell, and he bought the picture from Sidney Bell for, I don't know, $500, something like that, you know, but he won that picture. Mm-hmm. But, so we have, well, the picture of Ellen and Nancy, and Gar as a baby, his picture on the mantle above the mantle there, mm-hmm. and we didn't have much Bud, but Nancy has a following sitting picture there.
Uh huh. And Mrs. Pittman did that.
No, it's Sidney Bell.
Mr. Bell.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He did both of them, Nancy and Ellen.
Well, did Mrs. Pittman belong to any organizations in Hillsborough?
No, just the auxiliaries, the Medical Society, Washington Medical Society, mm-hmm. and the State Society, auxiliaries. All these medical organizations have their auxiliaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she belonged to the Historical Society, the Washington County and the State Historical Society.
Mm-hmm.
And she belonged to the art, was the art museum have an organization there. Remembers that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The Portland Art Association, I guess they call.
I think it is.
Did I mention being a member of the University Club?
No, I don't. You mentioned it in passing, but you didn't expand on it.
Oh, I became a member of the University Club when shortly after I moved to Hillsborough, I guess.
The University Club in
Portland.
In Portland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've been a member of that for a long time. And Gar is a member of that now, too. We enjoy going in there on Thursday evenings. They have a buffet. Dinner is a gorgeous thing. And Gar likes to eat very well, and you can tell he's kind of chubby. And now he takes me down once. Now I can't drive anymore, but he'll take me down once in a while and go down Thursday evening. I often have a travelogue or something that night. But they have that buffet in the most gorgeous display of food you ever saw. We found the old, last time we were down with his son Bill with us too, and in the bar they have dice cups. Every member has a cup there, and they have five dice in each cup, you see, or five die. And you have various games you can play with these things, and like ship captain and crew and two or the others that rolling the dice, you try to achieve certain things. It's like almost like a poker hands, you know. And they had lost mine for a while. They couldn't, the new employees down there couldn't find it anyway. But the last time we were in there, they went down to the bar with Bill, and the fellow there says that they found my cup. It was high up. It hadn't had out of there for years, you know. But Gary had one, but they couldn't find mine. So they bought them both out last time. We rolled dice for quite a while, and played these various games.
Dr. Pittman, I think I'm going to conclude this interview right now. Thank you very much.